then we really cannot enter into a Goloka Vrindavan. The basis foundation principle is the chanting of the holy names. If one is not chanting the holy names as sincerely and seriously as possible, then some of the things I'm about to discuss may make some sense, but not fully, a sort of understandable. The pastimes of Krishna with his eternal associates is beyond philosophy, is beyond reason, is beyond logic, it's actually beyond argument, it's beyond even debate, and it's even beyond one's intelligence, and it's beyond knowledge in the sense of gyan. Completely beyond all these things. In one sense, the pastimes of the Lord are inconceivable, because it's inconceivable because you cannot put a philosophical situation to it, and neither can you put a understanding to it, and neither can you sort of discuss without having the eligibility of trying to sincerely and seriously chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So with that as a foundational situation in the consciousness, we will try to move forward. Personally, I myself am completely bewildered by the pastimes of Lord Krishna. But the moha, or the bewilderment, which is a secondary principle in ras, there are five primary rasas, but the secondary principle is also vimoha, which is called bewilderment. And bewilderment in the material world will make people exclaim, oh, how amazing, how wonderful. And sometimes they may say, oh, I cannot believe it. But they are experiencing it beyond their own sense of belief. This is the pastimes of the Lord. You can experience something beyond your own sense of belief. And we have relative material experience to that. You know? One particular word in English in terms of vimoha is called wonderstruck. Somebody is struck with wonder. How can this be? How can this be? But at the same time, it's not a question of them not believing, but how can it be? And that type of a consciousness we are going to be struck with. So we are entering into this particular Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly this 10th canto, chapter 9, beautifully and amazingly simple and deep translations by Srila Prabhupada. And the chapter is appropriately for this month of Kartik titled Mother Yasoda Binds Lord Krishna. So we'll begin with verses 1 and 2. They are coupled together. And this particular verse 1 and 2 may take us probably 3 sessions itself, or if not less or more. It depends on the discussions. So text number 1 and 2. There's nothing written on the board, so I'll just read the Sanskrit and we can do the translation together. Shri Sukha Uvacha Ekada Grihada Shishu Yasodhananda Gehini Karmantara Niyuktashu Nirma Manta Swayam Dadhi Yani Yani Hagitani Tadbala Charitani Cha Dadhi Nirmantane Kale Smaranti Tanyagayata. You can repeat the translation some words at a time. Shri Sukadev Goswami continued. Everyone? One day, when Mother Yasoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from Vaishnava Toshini of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yasoda took place on the Deepavali day or Deepamalika. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights, especially in Bombay. It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Yasoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. Mother Yasoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt and churn it into butter personally, since she thought that this child, Krishna, was going to the... Mother Yasoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt and churn it into butter personally. Since she thought that this child, Krishna, was going to the houses of neighborhood gopas and gopis to steal butter because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. While churning the butter, Mother Yasoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. It appears that Mother Yasoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Sakatasura, and Trinavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities in poetical form. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yasoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobistam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupakadamayam tadati svapadantikam vanchakalpa turubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanabhyo vaishnavabhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shrivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare Brahma Samhita has have us understand Ananda Chinmaya Ras Prati. This particular word Prati means every second or every moment. And Bhavi Tabis. That means Tabidya Eva Nija Rupataya Kalabi Goloka Eva Nivasati Akilatma Bhuta Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Srila Prabhupada he comments that that Krishna and his entourage are of the same spiritual potency, Ananda Chinmaya Ras. Krishna's father, Krishna's mother, Krishna's friends, the cowherd boys, and the cows, and everything else. Ananda Chinmaya Ras indicates that everything in the spiritual world is completely conscious, is completely Krishna conscious in the spiritual world. In other words, there's nothing that's dead. There's no dead matter there. Nothing is dead. So in Damodara Astakam, Namaste tu Damne. Namas means Namaha. I offer my obeisances to Namaste stu Damne. And Damna indicates, Namastes to Damna indicates the rope around the waist of Krishna. Now, who wants to offer obeisances to a rope? It doesn't make sense. Who wants to offer obeisance to a rope? But yet we sing every evening in Damodara Askan. We offer obeisances to a rope. So this rope is very much supremely conscious of Krishna and service to Krishna. And not only that, Spurad Dipti Dham. Spurad Dipti Dham. Spurad means effulgence or splendorous, like that. And Dipti Dham means like a dipam, you know, we offer lamp. But the abode of the Lord is full of spiritual effulgence. Right. So in order for us to offer obeisances to a robe which is brilliantly effulgent and beautiful, the robe must be completely conscious of Krishna. For us to associate with the robe, to offer obeisances to the robe, that means we become Krishna conscious. Like that. So this is not an ordinary robe of the material world. It's fully Ananda Chinmaya Ras, fully spiritually conscious of service to Krishna and serving Krishna. And then we know, Tvadiyo Dharaya. What's Tvadiyo Dharaya? Onto the stomach or the belly. And Atha Vishvasya. That means of the entire universe, Dhamne. The entire universe gets shelter in the belly of Krishna. Like that. And not only we offer obeisances to the rope that's binding your belly, Krishna, but we also offer obeisances just to your belly, to your stomach, which is the abode of the entire universe. We sing. But how deep is this and how simply deep is this? So therefore we should know that everything, everything in the spiritual world is fully, fully, fully conscious and eternally there. There's no dead matter. There's no beginning or end. There's no birth, old age, disease, or death. Some insect here. Scott? The garland. Okay. Now Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur points out, quoted from Srila Prabhupada, that in Vrajabhumi there is the Yamuna River with its sandy banks. And there are the kadamba trees, there are the cows, there are Krishna's sticks with which he herds the cows. There is Krishna's flute. And he says that all these belong to the Shantaras, or the mellow of neutrality, which Srila Prabhupada further says, they serve Krishna indirectly, but directly through one of his personal associates. And the direct servants of Krishna begin with servants of Krishna known as Chitrak, Patrak and Raktak. You know, the coward boys. They are not friends, they are servants of Krishna. And they in the embodiment of servitude. They are direct servants. Whereas the personalities in Shantaras, you know, like the cows and the trees and Krishna's flute and so forth, they serve indirectly through the direct associates of Krishna. And also they have friends like Sudama and Sridham, who embody friendship and fraternity. Then there's Nanda Maharaj and Madhya Yasoda were the embodiments of parental love. And above all these, in a way, not above and yet above, is the gopis headed up by Srimati Radharani, and specifically Lalita and Vishakha, who embody conjugal love, the Madhuri Ras. In all five of those mellows, Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, they eternally exist in Vrajabhumi. Now, in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that It is to be understood that among all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Yasoda's cows only ate grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. So Yashila Rupa Goswami, he mentions who these cows are in Radha Krishna Ganada's Dipika. And they are seven of the most important Surabhi cows, which are Krishna's favorites. The first cow is called a Mangala, because she wakes up very, very early in the morning. See? And it's a natural alarm clock for Mother Yasoda to get Krishna to rise, because she makes this auspicious mooing sound, you know? Mooing sound, and Krishna rises. So Mother Yasoda knows, I have to rise Krishna. Mangala. Another name of a favorite cow of Krishna, her name is Pingala. You know why? What's the color of the form of that cow? Pingala? Yellow. Yeah. So when Krishna is apparently not so well, he's not feeling too well. But actually he's not feeling too well because he was up all night. But Mother Yasoda is decoding, my son was restless in bed. He didn't take good rest. So he needs some medicinal milk. So that medicinal milk, which has a natural turmeric flavor, comes from Pingala, yellowish in color. Another cow, her name is Ganga. And this cow that is named Ganga, she is the origin of the name Ganga. The river Ganga, you know, whether it's Bhagirathi Ganga or Alakananda Ganga or Mandakini Ganga in the Char Dham in the Himalayas, they are secondary names in terms of the name the Ganga River. The original name of Ganga is this cow. And she is completely whitish in complexion. And her milk is naturally white. So when Krishna is in the transcendental mode of being transcendentally agitated and is not a good boy, he is more naughty than usual, then Mother Yasoda knows she has to give the milk of Ganga. So he becomes pacified and he is sort of coming to the mode of transcendental goodness, Sudha-sattva. That's Ganga. So how many cows we mentioned so far? Mangala, Pingala, Ganga. Yeah. Just remembering the milk of Pingala like turmeric tasting and feeding Krishna, you'll go back to Godhead. Just one little feature of this thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the next name of the cow, her name is Pishangi. Yeah. P-I-S-A-N-G-I, Pishangi. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Pishangi. Yeah. So the word Angi comes from the word Anga. It's the root word, Anga in Sanskrit. And it means a beautifully formed limbs. Beautifully formed limbs. Shanghi is more beautiful to look at, you know, not in comparison to the other cows like Ganga and Pingala and Mangala, but just that she is Pishangi, she is beautiful to look at. Yeah. And Krishna is most attracted to Pishangi's, you know, beautifully formed form. Yeah. In the spiritual world, you do not take a form to serve Krishna. The form of Pishangi is the form of devotional service. The form and the soul is none different. Yeah. Then another cow. Her name is Manikastani. Manikastani means that she has an effulgent forehead that shines brilliantly like a mani jewel. Like that. And she brings a sense of brightness in, you know, in the cow shed. She brings a sense of brightness in the cow shed, even in the night. Like that. Yeah. Manikastani. Yeah. Yeah. Another cow's name, her name is Hamsi. Hamsi is white in complexion. And Hamsi looks like a great sage. She looks like a great sage. She sounds completely transcendental. You know, like she's above everything. Like she's above everything. Like Hansa, you know, like means a swan, but Hamsi. Yeah. Yeah. And then the last favorite cow of Krishna, her name is Vamsi Priya. Yeah. Now, Vamsi Priya is apparently manifest prior to Krishna's manifestation. Krishna's cow, Krishna's young boy. But Krishna is eternally in Golok, but yeah, Vamsi Priya appeared before him. So Vamsi Priya, when she moves, the cows, they say mooing, right? When she moves exactly like the sound of Krishna's flute. Yeah. And that's a little problematic for Krishna. Because Vamsi Priya, she plays with Krishna. And sometimes she moves and then the associates of Krishna are feeling, oh, Krishna is calling. And they go to their rendezvous, they go to the meeting place, but Krishna is not there. Like that. See? So it's a type of ras, you know, with Vamsi Priya and Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada says in a very simple book, Science of Self-Realization. We sometimes miss these simple ones. In a simple book, Science of Self-Realization. Srila Prabhupada says that the cows in Krishna's abode are liberated souls. They are Jivan Mukta. And they are called Surabhi cows. And Srila Prabhupada says, there are so many popular pictures showing how Krishna loves cows and how he embraces them. And not only that, Krishna kisses them in public. And their perfect happiness is when is achieved when Krishna comes and simply touches them. Prabhupada says like that. So Krishna, when he kisses the cows in public, he does it to agitate the gopis' transcendental jealousy, not envy. So one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, if this transcendental jealousy that's activated in the consciousness in Goloka Vrindavan, what is envy? So Srila Prabhupada gives an example. He said, just like in a family, there's two sisters. The sisters really love each other, but there's a sense of jealousy amongst them. Two sisters? There's a sense of jealousy. Not that they hate each other, not that they're envious, not that they're demoniac with each other, but there's a sense of jealousy. Like that. Just like there's two families like that. So one family will tell the other, you know, one mother will tell the other mother of the other family, oh, your son is so nice. But by saying that, why am I having a son that is not so nice as your son? So the sense of jealousy is there. And it's not envy. So Krishna kisses the cows in public and his eyes turns in the corner to one side and he sees the gopis looking through that gap in the door when the door is open on the hinge side. They look. He knows they see. They can see him. He cannot see them, but he can feel that they're seeing him. So then he kisses Ma, the cows. Very simple, Prabhupada says, how he embraces and kisses the cows in science of self-realization. Yeah. So these are Krishna's favorite cows. Then Krishna has two pet oxen. Or bulls, like that. And one of the bulls' name is Padmaganda. You know, Padmaganda. And the bull, it as if it works very hard, you know, to till the fields and so forth. So when Padmaganda does that, his transcendental form of a bull, it emanates a fragrance, which is the fragrance of a lotus. Padma Ganda. Everything is very beautiful in the spiritual world. We know, you know, the fragrance in the material world of this body, we don't want to speak about. But the fragrance of Padmaganda, it just emanates into the atmosphere, into the air, and it enters into Krishna's nostrils. It enters into Krishna's nostrils. And then Krishna comes and he embraces Padmaganda. There's another pet bull, and at least his name is Pishangaksha. Pishangaksha, like that. Pishangaksha is like a follower of Padmaganda. Follower, but they're together. This is Krishna's pet oxen. Mm-hmm. There are other cows in relation to Mother Yasoda herself, but still, we'll discuss something else. Krishna has one. A pet monkey. Anyone knows his name? Just remembering him, you'll become a Raganuga Vaishnav. Raga Anuga, following one of the residents of, you know, Ragatmika. This pet monkey is a Ragatmika devotee. Like that. Anyone knows the name? Huh? Daddy, you half there, 50%. Yes. Daddy Lob, yes. Yeah. It's an appropriate name. Daddy means yogurt and Lob means greedy. Daddy Lob. Daddy Lob is Krishna's main accomplice in crime. Main accomplice. Without daddy lobe, Krishna cannot steal butter, yogurt and milk products. And he is the advanced party. Like that. So what he does? Daddy lobe. So daddy lobe goes, Krishna tells daddy lobe, look, you go first. So daddy lobe, you know, in his sound, you know, he says, yeah, I go. Completely conscious. Yeah. He said, you go first. Now, you know what to do. Yeah. So daddy lobe explains, yes, I am daddy. I know. I'm greedy for yogurt. I know what to do. Their language, you know, transcendental language. It's like a monkey language, but Krishna knows and understands. And so daddy lobe goes. So he goes into one of the elderly gopis' homes. And he creates such an havoc. You know, like he screams, he makes noises, he goes, you know, into some small, he's smallish, he's very small monkey. Small. He goes and he makes such a, you know, ruckus there, it's just like, you know, upside down everything and so forth. Goes up, down, everywhere and he makes a noise. So the elderly gopi comes. So who's stealing? So he makes the monkey sounds. So she sees him, she takes a stick and she tries to hit him, but he can jump, you know. He jumps all over, even like along the ceiling and, you know, along the rafts, and he jumps. So she can't get him. So eventually he goes and she has the door open. So he runs out the door. And when he runs out the door, she runs after him. And then Krishna and the coward boys come in. That's daddy lobe. He's an advance party for stealing, main accomplice. So Mother Yasoda has one bucket, a milk bucket, Krishna's milk bucket. And it's called Amrita Dohani. That means, Amrita means nectar, and Dohani means milking, like that. So this bucket, it stands there. It is Shantaras. Shantaras, it stands there, like that. So that bucket can only serve Krishna through the agency and consciousness and devotion and actions of Mother Yasoda. Direct, indirect service to Krishna. Direct service to Mother Yasoda and indirect service to Krishna. Amrita Dohani. So that bucket, Amrita Dohani, it's a personality. And she's female in nature. Because cow is female, milk is female, because female in nature. So that bucket, Amrita Dohani, feels, oh, I am standing here and Mother Yasoda is so near and the gopis are complaining that Krishna is stealing butter from their homes and I am still standing here and Mother Yasoda is making milk sweets for Krishna but he is coming completely full stomach and is not eating anything at home. So Amrita Dohini feels, maybe I am completely unqualified. And Amrita Dohini feels fallen. And she perspires on the side. Perspiration. The perspiration is akin to something like, you know, when you take something and you put it in the fridge, and when you take it out, you get that water that comes out on the side, you know, because of the freezing. So she's like that, you know, she's like, you know, frozen to not having any service. And that comes out. So Mother Yasoda sees, oh, Amrita, all right, we'll engage you in service. Amrita Dohini is a natural milk bucket. But it won't move. It won't move, but it's completely conscious. Yeah. It's completely conscious like that. Yeah. So now we come to the prelude. Why a Damodar Leela happened. And then in the next several days we'll come into slowly into Damodar Leela. This is just a prelude. Because there must be some things happening for Krishna to steal in his own home. He never does that. He gets everything he needs. And he gets everything he needs like that. So in Act of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada says that a friend of Mother Yasoda, one elderly gopi, she came to Mother Yasoda and she said, look, you know, Mother Yasoda, your son is very cunning. Mother Yasoda said, look, you know, I am the wife of Nanda Maharaj, the king. You know? And we bring our son up very upright, and he's a first class cultured boy. Like that. You know? There's no cunningness in my son. And besides this, you're trying to bring bad name to our family? She says, no, Mother Yasoda, you should understand, I haven't finished yet. You know, he came to my home, he stole some butter in a very cunning way. Like that. And when he did that, when I caught him, he blames my son for the mischief. Like that. And how does he blame my son for the mischief? I can see butter all over his hands. He goes in front of me and he smears, you know, my son on his face with all the butter that he stole from my own house. And he says, see, look, he's the one. Right in front of me he does that. Like that. Yeah. That poor boy, when he was smeared by Krishna's lotus hands with that butter, he's looking at his mother and he's crying, this happened, at the same time he's licking the butter. Mahaprasadam. He's licking the butter like that. And not only that, she said, he did that when my boy was sleeping. He went there and he smeared him and he got up and he started crying, and in his crying he's licking the butter. He's like, it's your boy is really cunning. Yeah? He's really cunning like that. So upon hearing this, Srila Prabhupada says, quoting Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada says, Mother Yasoda, you know, she looked at this gopi, you know, like a side glance, and her eyebrows become curved. You know, it becomes curved, you know. And she looked at her like that. And she looked at the face of her friend and with the curved eyebrows. And with that curved eyebrows, it's as if to say, huh, you're talking about my son like that. You know? That mood, curved eyebrows. And the Mother Yasoda started smiling and the gopi left. Like that. Now, Krishna is very attractively childish, because of his restlessness. He's attractively childish because of his restlessness. So all the gopis in the neighborhood, they used to come to Mother Yasoda and complain one after another like that. And one gopi heading up some other gopi said, you know, our dear friend Yasoda. So Yasoda said, stop. First you're calling me dear friend. What are you going to say next? You know, you come to somebody, my dear friend, your boy's a rascal. This is the elderly gopi. Oh, you know, Our dear friend Yasoda, you know, your son, not all the time, okay, not all the time, how? No, sometimes. Sometimes he comes to our houses before we milk our cows. And then, Mother Yasoda said, then? And then what he does, he releases the calves. And the calves go and drink all the milk of the cows. So we cannot milk the cows. Like that. And then, when our husband, the master of the house, becomes angry with your son, he's such a rascal that he just smiles at them. He just smiles. He's such a rascal. And sometimes, you know, he is a very conniving and cunning boy that, you know, he gets many plans of how to steal of our, you know, our yogurt, our butter and our milk, like that. And then he eats it and he drinks everything also. Yeah. Now, then the gopis are saying, not only that, somehow when Krishna starts stealing the butter and the yogurt and the milk and so forth like that, he spreads it everywhere and the smell goes and it attracts the monkeys to come into our own house. And the monkeys come in their great numbers and they assemble there. And they come. And we can't do anything. So many monkeys. Like that. So when the monkeys come, they also get their bellies full. And after some time, they can't take any more. And the monkeys, they break all our pots. Like that. All because the cause of everything is your Krishna. Like that. And sometimes, when he gets no opportunity to steal, you know, he doesn't get, everything is secure. He doesn't get any opportunity to steal. We know he becomes angry. He cannot control his senses. This boy, he becomes angry. Like that, yeah. See? So when he becomes angry, we should understand that anger personified is serving Krishna. Anger personified is serving Krishna. Everything in the material world has its natural original counterpart in Golok. Like so anger personified is serving Krishna, and Krishna does get angry. And Mother Yasoda said, and then, what happens? When he gets angry, he takes out revenge on us. And he knows very well that we are very attached to our babies. Very attached to our babies, like that. So what he does, he does something away on the other side and we have to run that side. We have to leave our little babies alone. Then he comes to our babies and he pinches them hard. Like that. And then the babies began to cry. Like that. But what really happens is when Krishna pinches them hard and the babies are screaming, they are actually screaming in ecstasy because of being pinched by Krishna. And the mothers are thinking, these babies are in pain. Like that. And when Krishna goes a little away, the mothers can say, Krishna pinched and he goes a little away. When the Krishna goes a little away, the babies cry even louder. They cry even louder. And they tell the mothers, you know, they fling. Him, bring him, you know. The mothers, these babies, they're in so much pain. They're pointing at Krishna. They're chasing Krishna away. But the babies want Krishna back. And Krishna knows that. Like that. So a pinch from Krishna does not put you in pain. A pinch from Krishna puts you in ecstasy, and you cry out of ecstasy, but the mothers are thinking, so much pain he brought to our babies. And those same baby boys are going to grow up and play with Krishna in the fields later on as the younger gopas. They're already touched by Krishna. Yeah, see. Imagine being touched by Krishna and you become so Krishna conscious, you're only remembering Krishna who pinched you. That's the goal of Krishna consciousness, to be completely conscious of Krishna. And the babies were like that. So this type of narration of Krishna's naughty childhood activities, it would be presented to Mother Yasoda in the form of complaints. Srila Prabhupada says, it's presented to Mother Yasoda in the form of complaints. So the form of complaints is part of the feature of the elderly gopis that brings ecstasy to Krishna to steal more. In the material world, we tell somebody, look, stop complaining. Stop complaining. It is detestable. We don't like it. Stop complaining. But in Goloka Vrindavan, when the elderly gopis present to Mother Yasoda the form of complaints, Mother Yasoda likes to hear more. She likes to hear more. Why? Because she's feeling, you know, these gopis are coming to my home and only speaking about Krishna and complaining about him. Maybe it's not true, because they're just making up these excuses that he's stealing just to come and see my boy. And anyway, Mother Yasoda felt, you know, these women, elderly gopis, they're my friends. They're village people. It's all grama katha. You know, there's grama katha in the material world, which is nonsense. There's also grama katha in the spiritual world, which is nonsense. N-O-N-S-A. It doesn't make sense to Mother Yasoda. So in the pretext of the form of complaints personified, they come here just to see my boy. Like that. So sometimes Krishna, he would enter the house of a neighbor, and like we said, when he found no one there, he would release the calves. When he would release the calves are tied by a rope. He touches that rope and he caresses the calves. He unties that rope. See? And that rope that he unties where he releases the calves is a cousin of all the other ropes in Mother Yasoda's home. Like that. So when he touches that rope and he unties the calves, those ropes in Mother Yasoda's home, they feel a very tingling sensation. Oh. Our cousin is being touched by Krishna. That rope. See? And soon as Krishna releases that calves, they go before the time to the cows to be milked, you know, before the time, like that, yeah. So the calves are actually, the calves are actually supposed to be released when the mothers are milked, but Krishna would release them before that time. And naturally the calves would drink all the milk from their mothers. Like that. See? So Krishna is making a point here. Krishna tells these elderly gopis indirectly, look, I am not after your butter. I am not after your milk products. I am not after your yogurt. Then why would I do this? Because you'll have no milk now to make milk products. I just released the calves. So I'm not after that. Just on the pretext of stealing, he brings so much joy to the residents of Vrindavan. Like that. So when that happened, and they caught Krishna releasing the calves, they tell the coward men, the husbands, hey, catch him. Here's he running. He's a thief. He didn't get anything today, therefore he released the calves. You catch him. They instructed their husbands. There are three features of culture that we should know. We are not talking about the Western culture. The Western culture is completely uncultured. We should know that. And we should not embrace it and not introduce it also. Like that. That we don't discuss. Then you get the culture which is called Indian culture. See? And Indian culture is on the bodily conception of life. Beyond the Indian culture, you get what is called Vedic culture. That is Sanatana Dharma. That is Sanatana Dharma. And within Vedic culture, which the Indians mostly follow, called Indian culture in a sense, but not the complete Vedic culture. In that Vedic culture, a wife is not supposed to instruct the husband. Not supposed to instruct the husband. But beyond Vedic culture is Krishna conscious culture, where you can break the lesser rule of Vedic culture, you can break the lesser rule of Indian culture, and you can break the lesser rule of Western culture and be Krishna conscious culture for the highest rule of connecting to Krishna. So the cowherd men, when these calves are released, they want to go for the calves. And the elderly gopis are saying, our husbands are a little dumb, you know. They're dumb. There's no milk left. What are you going to... Let's leave the calves. They already took all the milk. Let them be fully satisfied and come away from the mother. You run after the thief. So that doesn't happen again. Then the coward men, they started running after Krishna. See? So in Krishna conscious culture, you can break all lesser rules to connect anyone and everyone to Krishna. So the elderly coward women, friends of yours, told the coward men, run after Krishna. Now that's a good instruction. Run after Krishna. That is Krishna conscious culture. We can break many lesser rules for the highest rule of always remembering Krishna and never forget Him. Otherwise we get stuck with these rules and it's called Niyamagraha. But then we break the rules not to connect to Krishna. That is not good. That is not good. Like that. So the vestige of Vedic culture is called Indian culture. And lower than the Indian culture is the Western culture. And higher than the Vedic culture is the culture of Krishna consciousness. That you connect people to Krishna. Connect them to Krishna. So this is what the elderly cowherd women did to their husbands. Run after Krishna. And Krishna was running away from them. And one of them says, oh, yeah, it's Krishna. He's the one that did the mischief. Like that. And then Krishna would flee again and enter another house. Like that. You know, like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, what Krishna said to Amara, you know, like, you have Krishna and I am running after. So what's that? What's that song, that bhajan, beautiful bhajan? You know, like he says that, you know, you have Krishna and I'm running after you because you have Krishna. What's it? Krishna said to Amara? Krishna? Yeah, okay. Yes. You know, Krishna, Krishna, I'm running after you to get Krishna. Something like that, the translation. Yeah. So the same thing. The same thing. See, there's Krishna. Run after him. Like that. Run after him. So then Krishna would enter another house and again he would devise plan to steal butter and yogurt. Like that. Then the coward man again tried to capture him. Because the instruction of their wives are lingering in their consciousness, you know, catch, 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 catch. Nice, completely Krishna conscious. Then they say, here's the butter thief. Better we capture him. And then they would become very angry with Krishna. And Krishna would look at them and simply smile, and they would forget everything and go back to their wives. That's why it's called the most attractive. Like that. And then the wife says, huh? Where is Krishna? We caught him, but then what happened? We couldn't really catch him. What happened? We don't know what happened, but you know, and they themselves started smiling. And they said, we know what happened. He smiled and you are smiling. Contagious, you know. And they become more angry. You got to catch him. Because that's the proof we want for Mother Yasoda. That's the proof. You got to catch him. Like that. So Krishna was like this, always engaged in mischief making. Like that. Now, in another place, Krishna went. And the milk, with his coward boyfriends, and the milk and the yogurt was on a swing. It was like high up in the ceiling. And that milk and the yogurt and so forth was high up in the ceiling. That's like kept there for like emergencies. You know, we have emergency stock like that. So what Krishna and Balaram and his friends, they arranged and they piled up various pieces of wood. You can call it planks. Prabhupada calls it planks. Various pieces of planks, like that. And on the planks, they saw this wooden grinding mortar turned upside down. In Sanskrit, it's called ulukal. In other languages, say utkal. You know, so Krishna and Balaram were helping the boys, and they moved this utkal. And the utkal's cousin in Mother Yasoda's home, oh, Krishna is touching my cousin. When will he touch me? That signal is going, you know, that consciousness is moving like that. They're all connected, they're all completely conscious. So it's preparing for that to come to the Damodar Lila. So when they put the grinding mortar, you know, for grinding spices onto the planks, then they reach everything. And they make holes in those pots, like that. And Krishna and Balaram sometimes used to go in a dark room, and because of the valuable jewels, the gopis used to complain, you put too much jewels on Krishna. So when he comes here, it's so dark room, but the jewel brightens everything. They complain to Mother Yasoda like that. And the jewels are feeling, hey, look, we are giving Krishna pleasure, now you're complaining against us? And we will shine more. You know, it's completely conscious, all this paraphernalia. We're going to discuss Mother Yasoda's sari, we're going to discuss, you know, the rope and the stick and everything in days to come. How completely conscious everything is. Like that. So then Mother Yasoda was wondering, you know, these complaints are coming once too often, and sometimes in a day it comes for a few times to me. You know, can't they give me a break? Like that. Then she feels, maybe in all these talks, these rumors, there may be some grain of truth in it. Maybe there's something there. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, in one purport, in the 10th canto, he said, aside from being a thief, Krishna, in his childhood affairs, Krishna also acted as an expert thief, even at that age, by attracting all the young girls. He even stole the girls. By attracting them. And then Prabhupada says, and this is Krishna's business. This is what he does. Like that. And because Krishna is good in all activities, even if it's so-called immoral activities like stealing, killing and violence, Krishna is always pure. Right. And then Srila Prabhupada says, this is the first time that Krishna is given this name. Not in relation to the young gopis. It's the first time he's giving the name in relation to the elderly gopis from whom houses he's stealing butter, milk and yogurt. Therefore he's called Gopi Janavallabha. First time he's called like in relation to the elderly gopis. So one of our previous acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, like that, he says that the gopis, they also complain in other ways, like that. And at this time when they come to Madhya Yasoda, they say, look, your son not only steals, like that. You know, we have young daughters at home, like that. You know, and these young daughters, he comes from behind. We don't know how he does it, he just comes suddenly from behind and he pulls their braids and he pulls their saris and he says, nobody will marry you. Now, you know, it's okay, we can tolerate the stealing of butter. But you know, this is completely immoral and uncultured. And he goes around and he tells all his coward boyfriends, I did this. I did this. And when he spreads the news, it goes all over the village and nobody will marry our daughter. He says, this is your boy. This is your boy. See? And then Madhya Yasoda said, look, he's a boy. Boys can play with girls at that age. What is the problem, you know? He's playing. No, you cannot say he's playing. He's supposed to be a cultured boy. He's not a cultured boy. And another gopi says, and on top of that, when one of my daughters, you know, she like resisted Krishna, he said, you rascal, he kicks her. Okay. And after he kicks her, she breaks down crying, and he goes quietly to her and said, will you marry me? That's Krishna. He's such a lovable person. Krishna. Yeah. So then she told Madhya Yasoda, this one will complain. You should be careful about your boy. You know, now he's stealing yogurt. And then he's coming and stealing the hearts of our young daughters. Like that. And when he grows up, you know, he might also steal other men's wives. You should be careful. Because you know, that's the trend. Stealing yogurt butter, then the girls, then it'll go somewhere else. Madhya Yasoda really, what? Are you gone pagla? This is my boy. How can you say when he grows up, he'll steal other men's wives? Like that. But it hurt Madhya Yasoda that you're telling me this. She said, ja, go. So the elderly gopi went away. They all went, these elderly gopis. And they went to, this is described in Garga Samhita. So they all went, they said, you know, enough is enough. You know, Madhya Yasoda doesn't believe us. Now because she doesn't believe us, we can't go back in the form of complaints and see his face. We can't do that. So they went to Nanda Maharaj's elder brother. What's his name? Upananda. And his wife's name is good. What's her name? Prabhavati. Not Padma, Prabhavati. Elderly gopi. So they complained. They said, this is the situation. You know, you are the elder to Yasoda and your husband Upananda is elder to Nanda Maharaj. She'll only listen to you. You go. She'll only listen to you. You go. Like that. So she came to Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj's palace, And she spoke to Yashoda. She said, "Oh Yashoda," she's first glorified Yashoda, very nice, you know, culture. She said, "Oh Yashoda, you know, for the two of us, there's no separate property. Whether it's in butter, whether it's in ghee, milk, yogurt or buttermilk. What's yours is mine and what's mine is yours. You know? Because our sons, my son is also your son and your son is also my son. Because two brothers and there's two mothers, Prabhavati and Yashoda." So she was explaining like this. "And you know, by your kindness, what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours." Like that. Then Mother Yashoda said, "Look, I'm not stupid. Get to the point. Why did you come?" Like that. She said, "Yes, I came. I am not telling you, Yashoda," you know, Prabhavati is saying, "I'm not telling you, Yashoda, that I'm not telling you that you taught Krishna to steal. I'm not saying that." Like that. "But, you know, he does steal butter on his own. Where he got that habit from, I don't know. But you didn't teach him that because you are a very cultured lady and you are Vrajeshwari, you know, you're the queen of Vraj, you know, like that." Now, then Prabhavati told Mother Yashoda, "And you see, I spoke to your son Krishna because he's good as my son," like that. And when I tried to give him good instruction, I couldn't believe it. But he became very arrogant towards me and he uses bad words against me and I couldn't believe it that he uses such bad words. I don't even want to mention those words and he runs away from my courtyard." Yashoda said, "No, that can't be. You are his mother. Good as his mother. You know? It can't be like that." But she said, "Anyway, you know, he is the son of Raja's king. You should know that he should not steal. He should be an upright boy." Prabhavati is saying this. "You know, there are other things," Prabhavati is saying, "there are other things I want to tell you, but out of respect for you and Nanda Maharaj, I will not say." Like that. Krishna is in the other room. He heard everything like that. And he said, "This Prabhavati, now she's representing all these people, I am going to sort her out. Because she's bringing pain to my mother in speaking like this about me. What she spoke is true, but why she should tell my mother, bringing pain? I will fix her up." Like that. So after hearing Prabhavati's words, Yashoda called Krishna. And she rebuked him. She chastised and scolded him. She's chastising Krishna on one side and then she turns to Prabhavati and she gently speaks to Prabhavati. "You see, I am chastising him." And she said to Prabhavati, "I don't know what's happening. You know, we have 10 million cows. Like that. There is so much yogurt in our home. I do not know why this boy never drinks any of the yogurt here. I don't understand." Like this. You know. "And next time, Prabhavati, when you catch him stealing, you bring him to me. That you caught him stealing, this yogurt thief. You bring him to me with butter in his hands and then you'll see what I will do." So Prabhavati said, "If I bring like that to you, what will you do?" Like that. She said, "I will tie him up." Damodar Lila. "I will tie him up." Like that. And then again, Madhya said it. "But you should also know that there is no difference between my son and your son. You should know this. Like this. If I tie Krishna up, how will you feel? How will you feel? Because he's also your son. Don't come and tell me I shouldn't tie him up if I tie him up. If you get the proof and come to me." Like that. So these are the words in the, it says, te shishu, your son, me, my shishu, my son, beda, difference, nasti, that is, and kinship, all to Prabhavati. But meanwhile, she's making Prabhavati understand that if I tie Krishna, you don't feel sorry for him, because he's also your son. So hearing these words, Prabhavati became very happy. She went home. Again. So Krishna said, oh, you did this. I will fix you up. I will sort you out. So Krishna went to steal butter from whose home? Prabhavati's home. Again. So when he stole butter from Prabhavati's home, he and the gopas, they climbed over the outer wall, entered the courtyard, seeing the yogurt in clay pots, hanging on the ropes beyond reach, they arranged a footstool and the grinding mortar on it, climbed on it, and still the yogurt could not be reached. Again the grinding mortar. Then Sridham and Subal, they hit the pots with the stick. They're good with sticks. And this flowing, beautiful yogurt came down. Like that. And it hit the ground. And Krishna and the gopis and the monkeys, they having a big feast. Eating and eating and eating. Now, Prabhavati heard the pots breaking. Sound of the pots breaking. So she came. And the boys fled. And the boys are telling Krishna, let's go. Krishna said, no, I am not going. I am here. Prabhavati took her left hand and caught Krishna by his right hand. And firm grip. Firm grip. Right there. So Krishna is saying, you know, you my mother also. Prabhupada said, stop. Stop. My son doesn't steal, but you are stealing. So I have to sort you out. I'm taking you to your mother. So Krishna is begging, shedding false tears, crying like anything. Krishna is saying, Prabhavati, Mother Prabhavati, please, you take me to my mother, whole Vraj will know that I got caught stealing butter, and you bringing bad name to my mother and father, please don't do this. He's the king of Vraj, Nanda, please don't do this. Like that. Prabhupada said, no. I am going to do this. Your mother said I should bring you back. Then Krishna said, I know why you are doing this. Oh, why? Because you want to become the queen of Vrindavan. Upa number, there's a king. Because you're going to give bad name to us. But that's not the case. That's not in Prabhupada's consciousness. He's just teasing her like anything. Like that. So then, as Krishna was shedding false tears, she brought him to Nanda Maharaj's palace. Like that. And she was seeing Nanda standing there, Nanda Maharaj. So she took the edge of her sari with her right hand, holding Krishna with her left hand to his right hand, and she put the sari over Krishna's face. Like that. And after she did that, Krishna thought, oh, I'm finished. I know my mother will hit me with a stick. Hit me with a stick. Mata dandam pradasyati. She's going to chastise me with a stick. That's coming up also. Yeah, chastise with a stick. Then Krishna, he can do anything he likes. And he's in fear personified. So when he's in fear personified that his mother will hit him with the stick, he becomes desperate. Desperate to do something. So Yashoda came quickly. Prabhavati is smiling, you know, from like cheek to cheek. You know, I have him here. Covered with a sari. Like that. And the angry Prabhupada said, I caught him. He broke the pots. He stole the yogurt. This is your boy. You told me to bring him to you. So Madhya Yasoda said, okay, reveal the rascal to me. Show me his face. So Prabhavati proudly lifted her sari and she showed the face. And Madhya Yasoda almost fell down laughing hysterically. You know, like, she's laughing and laughing. It's like a, such a hasya ras, you know, that Prabhavati brought to her. And she started laughing. And Prabhavati said, huh? I caught your son, I brought him here, and you are thinking this is a joke? She's getting more angry. Like that. So Mother Yasoda, she's laughing, and she's pointing there. She says, him, see him. So Prabhavati looks, and she says, oh, this is my son. This is my son. Yeah. Krishna transformed into Prabhavati's son. So then Prabhavati didn't know what to do. She was completely dumbfounded. Then a hand on Krishna's hand, because consciousness of Krishna entered through her hand, and she became completely pacified. All anger left her, and she loosened the grip, and it was becoming like more affectionate, because this is my son. You know, it's more affectionate, and Krishna can feel she's becoming more affectionate to him in the form of her son. It's like that, you know. So Prabhavati, completely anger is gone, like that. Then Prabhavati took away the cloth from her face, seeing her own son, and she was surprised. You know, she told, my boy, how did you come here without walking? Like that. How did you come here without walking? You know, I had the treasure of Vraj in my hand. But how did you come here and replace him? She's asking her boy like that. So saying this, she took that Krishna in the form of a son and she left Nanda Maharaj's palace. Then Rohini in the meantime came, Nanda Maharaj, Balaram and the Gopas and the Gopis. You know, they sing Yasoda laughing and he asked why? Yasoda is explaining and they started laughing. Like that. And they started laughing like that. And they all said, yes, this Prabhavati, today we saw one of the greatest injustices to our Krishna in Vraj because of this Prabhavati. Like that. And she was walking away. So on the path outside of the precinct of Nanda Maharaj's area, like that, Prabhavati's son, who is Krishna, again became Krishna. And then she felt the hand. She didn't want to look. You know, it's like, is this my son still? But she didn't want to look like that. She didn't want to look. Because it is difficult for her. Because it was Krishna, then a son. Now, what if it's Krishna again? But it's Krishna came back to his form. Like that, yeah. And then Krishna looked at her and he said, look at me. So Prabhavati followed the instruction. She looked at Krishna and Krishna started smiling and very confidently says, I told you that you bring bad name to my family. I warned you. And you did this to me. You wanted to become bad name for me. I warned you. I told you. Like that. And then Krishna says, you know, you should know one thing. You know, this time I became your son and I was merciful to you. Because you told Mother Yasoda, your son is mine and my son is yours. And I became your son. And I was merciful to you. Now you be very careful. Next time you do this, I'll become your husband. I'll become your husband, I guess. So there's no doubt, you know. There's a verse like that, Puna Mam Yadi Grinasi. You know, in other words, to me, you are kind, Kadachit sometimes, hey Gopika, you Britar, you know, this word, Bhartr is means I'll become your husband. Like that. So this verse is there. Yeah. So when she heard this, Prabhavati, when she heard this, she became completely astonished. She said, you know, I'm his mother and he's telling me next time he'll become my husband. And she just went home. And when she entered the home, you know, Upananda asked her, everything all right? Like that. She couldn't speak. She couldn't speak. Everything all right? She couldn't speak because there was like it was impelled like by a fear of embarrassment. You know? She couldn't speak. So Upananda asked, everything all right? She just looked at him. She said, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Upananda said, then everything is all right. Because, you know, Krishna is also my son. Everything is all right. So this is the prelude. There's another prelude that will come tomorrow, and then we'll discuss entering into the Damodar Leela. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Yasoda Nandan ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Etai Gaur Prema Nande.